Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, in the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone callers. First up is Jesus, listening in California. Hi, Jesus.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Hanegraaff?
Good, how are you?
I have a question in regards to the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, now lately, the fire of the Holy Spirit has been in me, Mr. Hanegraaff, where to the point where if you see someone who cannot, you know, answer if they have received their salvation and if they love Jesus Christ, well, you know, it does bother me. So I try to tell them about the Bible and about God's Word. Now, they're quick to reject the Bible and God's Word, and they're quick to say that there are more than one Bibles, that there are so many religions out there, for example, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, and the Buddhists, and, you know, a whole bunch of people that praise other gods, and they like to think of that everyone has their own Bible. Now, the way I see it is there's only one Bible, you know? What can you tell me? Because they did bring my faith down a little. And I'm just looking for someone to console that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, this is a beautiful way of phrasing the question, everyone has their own Bible. And that is true. I mean, people of different religions have their own authoritative text. The question is, does that authoritative text really represent truth, or is it something that someone wishes to believe? And the reality is this: the Bible is rooted in history and evidence. Not so the texts of the Mormons, for example. You mentioned the Mormon texts. Well, the Mormon texts simply do not correspond to reality. The Book of Mormon is filled with factual errors. It's filled with faulty ethics. The lands and the peoples that are chronicled in the Book of Mormon do not correspond to reality. But when you look at the Bible, by God's grace, we can have a sequential line of reasoning demonstrating that the extant manuscript copies faithfully preserve the words of the original text. And the reality is, no essential of the biblical message has been compromised. Non-essential copyist errors have been resolved through manuscript comparisons and consideration of context and even plain old common sense. So the Bible is buttressed by manuscripts that demonstrate that we have the authentic Word of God. And why I say this is authentic is because time and time again, the archaeologist Spade documents that in direct comparison or contrast to pagan mythologies, from Mormonism to Mithras, for example, the people, the places, and the particulars that you find in the sacred text of Scripture have their root in history and evidence. And therefore, what was once concealed in the soil corresponds to what is revealed in the Scriptures. So again, with virtually every turn of the archaeologist spade, we have more and more evidence that the Bible is authentic in even its most minute details. Not only that, but as I've said in my book, Has God Spoken?, there are prophetic stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy that are powerful proofs that God has spoken, that the Bible is an authority for faith and practice. In fact, God himself said, I told you these things long before they happened. I announced them to you so that you couldn't say, my idols did them, my wooden image, my metal god ordained them. Or as Jesus put it, I've told you now before it happened so that when it does happen, you may believe. So we have the manuscript evidence, we have the archaeological evidence, and we have prophecy as powerful proofs that the Bible is a reliable, authentic authority for faith and practice.
No, I totally agree with that. And, you know, that makes perfect sense to me. So, I mean, for when people do not want to accept, you know, the Bible as God's truth, would you consider they're maybe scared? Or, I mean, because that, to me, those are lost people.
Well, they are. And the beautiful thing is that you've been called to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Someone's always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. So you're not called to change anybody's life, but you are called to give an answer, to be prepared. So let's say someone reads something in the Bible and they think it's nonsense, or they don't believe it, or they have a question about it. You need to be ready to give an answer. And if you don't have the answer, then you simply say, you know, it's a good question. I haven't looked into that myself. Let me find out for you. In the process, you learn, and then you become an ever more useful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process of reaching someone, not only for time, but also for eternity. We are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and I can tell by the passion in your question that that is precisely what you want to be.
Yeah. You know, Mr. Hanegraaff, can I ask you one thing about
sure.
the Bible? I mean, to me, the whole Bible is the book of God. Now, someone told me that the Old Testament is, like, removed because Jesus came for us. I mean, basically, that now that's valid is the New Testament and not the Old Testament. Now, I have a really hard time understanding that.
Well, the Old Testament is efficacious for us, but it is absolutely true. The writer of Hebrews says that we have a new covenant, and this covenant is new because the first one is obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. The new covenant, therefore, is better than the old covenant because the blood of Jesus is better than the blood of bulls and goats. So in the Old Testament, you have types and shadows that point forward to Jesus Christ. You have an unfolding plan of redemption from the time that God calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. You have this unfolding plan of redemption. Now, Abraham and the patriarchs look through types and shadows forward to a Messiah who would save them. So they offered the blood of bulls and goats. But when Messiah comes, you no longer do that because he is the ultimate sacrificial lamb in which all of these types and shadows have been fulfilled. So Jesus Christ did not come to abolish the law or the commandments, but rather he came to fulfill them. And in Christ we have our Sabbath rest. So the Old Testament certainly gives us the context, the unfolding plan of redemption in such a way that we can see that only Jesus Christ can walk through that doorway. Only he could fulfill all those types and shadows. So we have the certainty that what was promised has been fulfilled. The kingdom has been inaugurated. The king has landed in disguise, and he's calling all of us, as Lewis once said, to a great campaign of sabotage, which is to say, we are the agents of God to reach the world, and in that way, to consummate a kingdom that has been inaugurated. We're co-laborers with Christ in the fulfillment of what will happen when Christ appears a second time, and then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness.
I see. Just so I'm clear about it, the Old Testament is there just to show us basically how it was before Christ came.
Well, all of the Bible, think about it this way. All of the Bible is God's unfolding plan of redemption. In that sense, it's eschatological. It's an unfolding plan of redemption, and it gives us, through types and shadows, a pointer towards Jesus Christ. But that's not all. If we look at the patriarchs, we find in them a pattern for living our own lives. For example, Hebrews chapter 11 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So the Old Testament characters are those that we can look at and see as exemplars for living our own life. Abraham was a friend of God. He looked forward to a city whose foundations and architect were God. And so he looked forward to the promise, and we too, like Abraham, should look forward to the promise. So we not only have an unfolding plan of redemption, but we have a pattern for living our own lives in such a way that we are consummators of a kingdom that has been inaugurated by Jesus Christ. Going to have to leave it at that. Appreciate your questions, your persistence. I'm sure your questions have helped a lot of people. Be right back with more answers to your questions in just a moment.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, what you need to know about heaven, the hereafter, and near-death experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Veronica. She's listening in Fresno, California. Hi, Veronica.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call, Hank.
You're welcome.
I've been wanting to know something for quite a while. When I was a young girl, I got married very, very young, at 15. I got pregnant when I was 13, and the doctor that was our OBGYN reported us to authorities because of the fact that he would soon be overage. So the cops came out, did the little interview with us and our parents and stuff. Long story short, the officer explained that there would only be two things that could happen. Either he was going to eventually get locked up for being with a minor, or I would get married to him. So that's what we did. I got married, and the marriage didn't last. I was with them till I think I was 19, and I just got tired of the abuse while I was in that relationship, and I ended up getting out, but the way I got out, I ended up being with somebody else, so I committed adultery. We both went our separate ways. I did talk to him about reconciling, but he said it seemed like I was better off on my own, so we went on. So for many years, I did stay single. I was always concerned because I was like, okay, well, I committed adultery on him, so he's probably free to go and remarry, but what about myself? But 2 years ago, I did end up remarrying, and sometimes I get concerned today if I was even allowed to do that.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, it is now done. You can't unscramble the egg, and so what you need to do is press forward in your marriage as an example of Christ in the church. God uses broken.
Right?
Yes, yes. God uses broken vessels. And God, I mean, there are always consequences to sin, and I'm sure I don't have to tell you that. The consequences follow inexorably, like night follows day. But God is in the business of not only using broken, flawed vessels, but restoring them for His glory and for the furtherance of His kingdom. And so you can rest assured that though you have sinned, though you have made errors, God can use you and use your marriage for His glory. I mean, if you look at the quintessential king of Israel, David did far worse than you did. He committed adultery. He had the husband of Bathsheba, Uriah, killed on the battlefront, and yet God used him. I would simply focus your mind on Psalm 51 and 139. I also want to mention that we have an article on the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage, and that is up on the web. It was first published in the Christian Research Journal. You can check it out at equip.org. Back to the phone lines, Jacob listening in Topeka, Kansas. Hi, Jacob.
Hi there, Mr. Hanegraaff. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, I wanted to say real quick before I ask my question. I'm 22 years old. I drive semi-truck all across the country, and I look for your show consistently. It has been a blessing to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
I got married and moved out of state shortly afterwards. My younger sister rejected my parents' teaching and their headship and turned her back on Christ. She slept with a few different men, eventually got pregnant, and then before the baby was born, married that gentleman that was the father of the baby. I do want to say also, she turned her back on Christ, but I do not believe that she rejected the Spirit. So to say that she rejected Christ as her Savior. During all of this whole escapade, my father stated to me through various phone calls that they cannot have communion with her anymore because she turned her back on Christ. So he wouldn't give me a definite answer as to what he meant by that, but that meant their relationship was limited. Like, they could take meals over to their place, but they could not invite Jubilee into their home and commune with her. My personal belief is, as ambassadors of Christ, And as her blood family, we should be the first to be up ministering to her soul. And we should be offering for her to come over at any time and cooking her the finest meal that we can possibly have and ministering to her and her new husband and her child. Could you give me maybe some scripture to tell me what is right and wrong there? Can we actually have communion with her?
Well, absolutely. And what you have just said is glorious and beautiful. I think it is precisely what we are called to do as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And I think Christ is the ultimate exemplar in all of this. Jesus did not come for those who were found. Jesus came for the lost. And
yes,
he did all that one could possibly imagine and so much more that we can't imagine so that we could be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. And if we have been forgiven a debt that is inestimable, how could we withhold forgiveness from those who genuinely seek it? And how could we withhold relationship from those who want it? Now, we can't force relationship on anyone, but we should never shun our family members because we're great debtors. We are in debt of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and therefore we want to treat everyone in such a way that they can have the forgiveness that we have received. So I think you're absolutely right, and I love the way you said it. We should, especially those within our family that do not receive the Lord or have not received the Lord or have rejected the Lord or whatever the situation may be, we should cook them the finest meal and we should offer them the greatest of love. Now, obviously, we can't change anybody's heart, but we can testify by our love and by our life and certainly by our lips as yeah. God gives us the opportunity.
And even if she were to reject them entirely, just the example of them continually coming to her with a gracious heart, trying to minister to her and her family, isn't that what we are called to do?
Yeah, I mean, if she rejects them, there's nothing that you can do about that because in terms of reconciliation between two people, even on a human level, it always takes someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. Then reconciliation can take place. That can't be forced because it takes two parties.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. We're not supposed to limit our relationship with her in any way. If anything, we should be trying to reach out to her even more so. Is that a correct statement?
I think so. It is absolutely not only correct, but I think that it is axiomatic that that is what we do.
Okay. Is there any scripture that you can possibly give me? Maybe just a few verses. This is a subject that's been weighing on my heart. I've been praying about, and the situation is better now, but this is something I still believe I need to discuss with my father because the Lord has not let it leave my heart. It's just, it's not sat right with me since I've heard of it, and I've been quiet up to this point, but I'm trying to do a personal study and somehow bring it respectfully to my father.
I think that there certainly, as I just mentioned, are many passages that could be used, but ultimately, I think that the whole of Scripture is the template for what we are talking about. The whole of Scripture is pointing to the notion that Christ came into this world and he came to reach those who were lost. And as someone who is an ambassador for Jesus Christ, we too want to reach those who are lost. And how much more so if they are our own family members? So, yeah,
I wholeheartedly agree. My father is the type of person that will take one scripture and use that to refute findings, which is, again, why I'm trying to find scripture to back what I believe to be right. Because I don't believe if I were to find scripture that would irrefutably say this is so, my father would reject it, but I do need to have scripture before I confront him.
Yeah, and I think the whole of Scripture, as I mentioned, is a template to do the very thing that you are attempting to do. Let me put an outline together for you.
Thank you.
You hang on. We will put it in your hands.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Yeah, and we'll go back to the phone lines, talk to Don. He's listening in Virginia. Hi, Don.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm a truck driver also. but I was wondering if you had ever heard of Les Feldick.
Yeah, I have. He claims that the Holy Spirit enables him to teach without formal training, without lessons, without notes, and even without physical exhaustion, which I wish I could do all three because I sometimes suffer from the physical exhaustion. But he's a guy that I would not recommend at all. He's an ultra-dispensationalist who holds that the church began with the Apostle Paul and that there are essentially two gospels, one for the Jews and another for the Gentiles. So he is a person who I think is very dangerous because at the end of the day, what you have to do if you are a devotee of Les Feldick is you have to try to figure out which verses pertain to you and which do not. And I think that the Bible is correct in saying that every word of God is useful for correcting and instructing in righteousness.
Okay. All right, that's all I needed to know. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. As always, we are so deeply grateful for those who participate in this ministry, standing shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. As I close this broadcast, once again, an appeal for many of you to join the Bible Answer Man support team. That's the foundation of the support we need to stay on the air, to continue our ministry around the world. If you can give to this ministry, you can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. As well, resource consultants, they are standing by 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.